My name is Christian Berdahl, and we're going to spend a little over an hour together. And what I'm going to attempt to do, as my friend Neb said, was I'm going to attempt to make sense out of a very large subject. In fact, the shortest time I could compact it down for it to still make sense was 12 hours. So our 5-DVD set is 12 hours of education. And when you go through that course, it's amazing how you'll come out on the other end. In fact, we have young people, we've had amazing testimonies of academies, every student buying their own copy so they can take it home and watch it with their parents. Praise God. So I'm going to try to compact this down to a little over an hour, and I'm going to have to move right through. So I'm simply calling this the music overview. Now, the distraction dilemma, we have our first ever seminar is not advancing now. You know what I've discovered? When you talk on this subject, the devil gets in every tiny little place he can. It's just absolutely unbelievable to me. But you know what? We're not going to let him stop us. He may slow us down, but he's not going to stop us. Amen? All right. There we go. Good. So we are going to go over, basically, I'm just calling it a music overview because we're not going to get through all the material. So let's jump right in. I would like to have an additional word of prayer real quick, though. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that you would put your hand over this entire seminar. We know that the devil does not want us to chase this rabbit. Lord, I pray that you would please help us to expose the dangers that you have revealed to us in just one area of life, music. And Lord, I ask that you would bless us with the Holy Spirit. Even the samples that we listen to, help us to be educated by them and not entertained. In Jesus' name, we plead for the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, a couple big questions in the Christian world. And in the Christian world, we have several different questions. And one is music moral or amoral? So, there are proponents on one side saying, doesn't matter what we listen to, music is amoral. Others say, no, wait a minute, music is moral, and it does matter what we listen to. So are both sides right? The reality is, no, they're not. Another big question that we have is it's just the lyrics. Is it just the lyrics that matter most, or is it the music bed that matters most? So we have two main questions. Is it moral or amoral? And is it the lyrics or the music bed that matters most? So we're just going to take two of the questions out of the entire seminar, and we're just going to look at that today. So let's see what some people in the contemporary Christian music movement say. Sandy Patty, music is a very powerful force. It has a way of breaking down barriers. Is she right? Absolutely. But a lot of artists are taking that very powerful tool and putting negative, horrible lyrics to it, and those lyrics are getting into the hearts of the listeners and shaping their values. Is she correct there as well? Yes. Why can't we, for example, contemporary Christian musicians, take that same powerful force, music, and put positive lyrics to it and begin shaping values that way? Is there anything wrong with what she's saying? No. However, she's limiting what she's saying. What's she limiting it to? She is limiting it to the lyrics. And that is what most every single contemporary Christian music artist does. They say, it doesn't matter the music bed, what style it is, it's just the actual lyrical content that matters. David Meese, another CCM artist, back in the 80s and early 90s, he says this, basically you have to focus on the lyrics and what the song is saying. That is my criteria to decide whether the song is right or wrong. It has nothing to do with the music style, it has to do with the lyrics, what the song is saying, what are the words saying. As Christians, we can objectively judge it from that standpoint. Again, this is the mantra, it's only the lyrics. And if you have Jesus lyrics, it doesn't matter what type of music you listen to. Now, conversely, we can look at someone like Professor Marshall McLuhan, and he has a very different view on this. Now, understand that his work is viewed as one of the cornerstones work on media. He's a professor, philosopher, and a scholar. He's no longer with us. But here's what he said. The medium is the message. That is to say, the music, its melody, harmony, and rhythm all by itself disposes a man to virtue or vice by moving the emotions. Okay? So we have one side, the Christian saying, no, it's just the lyrics. And then we have academia and science saying, no, it's the way that the actual music, the melody, harmony, and rhythmic structures alone move the man. And they're even using the word virtue or vice by moving the emotions. Therefore, the way in which they move the passions should serve as a principal basis for judgment on whether any given piece of music is good or bad. Does that make sense? So what he's saying is, it has nothing to do with the lyrics. It actually has to do everything with the music bed. Brain specialist Dr. Richard Pellegrino said, he declared that music had the uncanny power to, quote, trigger a flood of human emotions and images that have the ability, listen, to instantaneously produce very powerful changes in emotional states. So he's saying, instantaneously, music can change emotional states. Take it from a brain guy, in 25 years of working with the brain, I still cannot affect a person's state of mind the way one simple song can. So what he's saying is, the music is so powerful, I can change, as a scientist, I can change the emotional state of a person quicker than if I go through even a therapy session with them. Maybe they're sad and depressed. Instead of talking for an hour and spending $150, let me play a happy song. I can change your emotional state like that. And that's powerful. In fact, music is medicine, and we'll get into that a little bit as we progress. So, can music alone influence the listener? Let's do an experiment. I'd like you to close your eyes in just a moment. And when you close your eyes, I want you to listen to the music, to the piece of music I'm going to play. And then when we're done, I want you to raise your hand and tell me, as I call on you, how that made you feel. Are we ready? Okay, close your eyes. Okay, someone raise your hand and tell me how that made you feel. Yes.
Happy.
Happy, okay. Happy, yes. Playful, yes.
Carefree.
Carefree. Now, listen to this. I'm a prophet. Watch, ready? You are going to say happy and fun. Now, how did I know that? Am I a prophet? No, I'm not. Not even a son of a prophet. But how did I know this? I knew this because music is a language. And if you simply understand the language, you'll know what everyone's going to feel. So is this moving our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts? Indeed it is. Okay, let's close our eyes again. Ready? Here we go. We're going to do this again. Close your eyes. I said close your eyes. Okay, here we go. Ready? Okay, raise your hands. How'd that make you feel? Yes. Unsettled, yes. Chills up and down your spine. Yeah, you and me both. Yes. Cautious, yes. Sad. Anyone else? Yes. Something bad was going to happen. Isn't that amazing? From young to old, we're all going, eee! How'd that make you feel? Fearful. Look, isn't that incredible that we all knew that that was eerie, it was scary, it was fearful, that something bad was going to happen. I'm sorry, what lyrics told you to feel that? That's interesting. There's no lyrics. You see, music is a language, and we respond to it. What's interesting is, we don't have time to get into it, but if you go around the world, and they have, when you look at color and listen to music, everybody responds, neurologically speaking, identically. Now, emotionally, we might respond a little differently, but even pretty much, not exclusively, pretty much universally, everyone even responds emotionally the same to music. Isn't that amazing? One more. Ready to go. Here we go. Close your eyes. One more. Okay, now, without raising your hands, give me a verbal expression on the count of three of how that made you feel. One, two, three. Amen? Isn't that amazing? And that's nothing you probably didn't know, but there was no lyrics there that said, please feel relaxed, you're being relaxed, relax your toes. It didn't say any of that. You just started to relax. And so, neurologically speaking and physiologically speaking, we react largely the same way. Peaceful, tranquil. Dr. Norman N. Weinberger, professor of neurobiology and behavior at UC Irvine, his research confirms that, quote, music can rapidly and powerfully set moods and do so in a way not easily attained by other means. Now, what's amazing is science is finding out, wow, music is so powerful. It can set moods and trigger a flood of emotions even, like that. Now, let's bring it all together. The question is, were your thoughts being impressed and influenced by the music? Yes or no? Yes. Were your feelings being impressed by the music? Yes or no? Yes. Let's tie it together with the Spirit of Prophecy statement. Review and Herald, April 21, 1885. If the thoughts are wrong, the feelings will be wrong. And the thoughts and feelings combined make up the what? Moral character. Okay, did you catch that? You see, what that's saying is the thoughts and feelings combined make up the moral character. Therefore, if we're listening to things that shape our emotions and our thoughts, therefore, music is very moral. Amen? It's really that easy. If it's shaping our thoughts and our emotions, our feelings, then it becomes a very moral component. So for anyone to make the claim and the argument that music is amoral, of no moral weight or value or anything in our lives, it is a careless and reckless statement. For those who are educated on the subject, scientifically and biblically and spirit of by the spirit of prophecy, then we know that that statement is not true. Music is very moral. If it moves me to satanic influence and action, it's very moral. If it moves me toward wanting to be with God and something that's uplifting and ennobling and edifying, it's very moral. Amen? When we decide that as Christians, we are not required to restrain our thoughts and feelings, it doesn't matter what I listen to. I can listen, as long as that's Jesus lyrics and it's called Christian music, I'll listen to whatever I want. I don't need to restrain my thoughts and feelings. Let it go. Wait a second. According to the prophet, not Christian Berdahl, when we decide that as Christians we are not required to restrain our thoughts and feelings, we are brought under the influence of evil angels. And we invite their presence and their control. So what can we say about this? Does this, if we actually interpret this, it doesn't even need interpretation, it's clear. But let's read what it's actually saying and apply it to music. If we're saying I can listen to whatever I want or watch whatever I want, don't apply it just to music. These principles are universal in our walk as Christians. The reality is, if we're not restraining those thoughts and we're just allowing the music to take us wherever and it's inappropriate, we are brought under the influence of evil angels. Is that what it says? Yeah. And we invite their presence and control. In other words, possession. I don't want that by the devil. I'd love to be possessed by God. I am his possession. Amen. So did God create music to influence our thoughts and feelings? Yes or no? Absolutely. There's nothing wrong if a piece of music actually influences you and touches your emotions. We just need to be careful of what it's doing. I know people that when they're sad, they'll listen to sad music. Right? Anybody ever, come on, be honest with me. If you've had your heart broken, you've been depressed, you've been sad, have you ever listened to sad music? What is wrong with us? Wouldn't you think the antidote is what we should have? Happy. If you're sad, listen to happy. Amen? But we're like, no, misery loves company. Amen? And the little poor young ladies or even older ladies like, oh, he broke my heart. He stabbed my heart with a knife. And then we listen to music and go, put 10 more knives in. Oh, that's terrible. We're just killing ourselves. Emotionally speaking. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? You see, we're not even using music in a way that's healthy. We got to be careful. Has Satan left music alone? Absolutely not. If we think that Satan has left the music alone, we are so deceived and naive, it's not even funny. The reality is, the devil has not left music alone. He's gotten in and he's messed with a whole bunch of it. The Enjoyment of Music, an amazing book written by Joseph McKillis. Here's what he says. Rhythm is the element of music most closely allied to body movement, fleshly, carnal, to physical action. Its simpler patterns, when repeated over and over, which is exactly what rock does, can have a hypnotic effect on us. In fact, what they've discovered is, well, we'll go right into it. It's right here, next slide. The power of sound in a section called, this is another amazing book, in a section called Stress and Addiction, here's what they've said. They've also shown, study and research has shown, that driving drum rhythms in excess of 3 or 4 beats per second will put the brain into a state of stress, regardless if the listener likes or dislikes the music. When the brain is in a stressful state, so it doesn't matter that maybe emotionally we're responding to this music. Yeah, we like how this, yeah, oh yeah, you know. But our brain is actually being assaulted, okay? It's saying regardless if the listener likes or dislikes the music, when the brain is in a stressful state, it will release opioids, a group of hormones that function like morphine to help return itself to normal equilibrium. So what's happening is where the brain and the physiology that we each have is sensing that it's being assaulted and agitated. And as a result, the two hemispheres, if you will, this is actually what happens, come out of balance and they're agitated one with another. The body's like, whoa, what's attacking? What's assaulting us? And so it releases this hormone that acts like morphine. And guess what happens? Okay. So even if we're listening to hard music, we're actually getting a morphine hit. In fact, that's what happens. These opioids, when experienced often enough, can be addicting. And the listener seeks for the, quote, high again. This is why listeners tend to move from less to harder music. It starts with soft rock, and you get that, oh, because it's still agitating. It's soft. No. Maybe emotionally and aurally, we're saying, oh, that's softer music. But neurologically speaking and physiologically speaking, it's actually still perceived as an assault. The brain doesn't like it. And there's reasons why, which we can't get into today, but we get into it in the 12-hour version of the seminar. So what happens is you get this stress, and we're being assaulted, and we release this morphine, these opioids. So the problem is, what happens is over time, we become addicted to this feeling and we go from less music to harder music to get the same effect. On top of this, the steady drum rhythms release in the body gonadotropins, which are sex hormones, which enhance sexual arousal. Now, as a Christian, should we be careful with what we allow into our bodies? Let's say you could take a drug and it enhanced sexual arousal. There are some out there. Now, if you are a single man, would it be wise for you to be popping those pills? Yes or no? No. If you're a young person, would it be wise to let your teenagers pop the pill and they walk around sexually aroused? Guess what? Music, wrong kinds of music, is the pill. And if we're listening to the wrong kinds of music with the heavy drums and syncopation and the rhythms, which we're going to get into in just a moment, it will release not only that opioid and have that morphine hit, it will also release the gonadotropins. So here we have young people who are saying, keep yourself pure, but we allow them to listen to stuff that imbues them chemically with sex hormone. It's music can be your best friend, or it can be your worst enemy. Are you getting that? Does that make sense? Okay. Continuing on. Loud booming bass music has a similar effect, and it's no wonder that adolescent males prefer these types of music. They're either stimulating a release of brain chemical, stimulating hormones, or both. My children, 12 and 14, my children don't get to listen to this junk. No way. It's hard enough to be a Christian in this 2012. It is. Have you figured that one out? It's tough. It's much harder to be raised as a Christian today than it was just 10 or 20 years ago. I mean, you realize 20 years ago, there's no internet. Now, with my smartphone, I can look at and listen to anything and everything I want right through the airwaves. The prince of the power of the airwaves. That's what the devil's called. Now, music serves a purpose. This is important to put into our minds. Messages to Young People 291. The history of the songs of the Bible is full of suggestions as to the uses and benefits of music and song. Rightly employed, that means music could be not appropriately employed, amen? Rightly employed, it is a precious gift of God, designed by a designer, and his name is Jesus Christ, designed to uplift the thoughts to high and noble themes, to inspire and elevate the soul. So if we're listening to something that goes against the original design that God had planned, then we're using music in a way that he never planned for us to use it. Make sense? So we're going to do a quick little history, very quick history. We're going to start in the 1450s, we'll go to 1960s, and we're just going to be done with it. Normally, in the seminar, we spend 3 hours. I'll spend about 8 minutes with you on our history. But we spend 3 hours going through an audible history from 450 BC all the way through to 2012. And yes, we bring in all the Justin Biebers and the Taylor Swifts and all these new artists that are out here. And we go through it methodically. And I'll tell you what, it's funny because each genre of music, I see the old people when we get to the 40s or the 50s, they're like, oh, hey, and they're pumping each other. You know, I remember that song or whatever. And we get to the 60s, 70s, and then you get into the 80s and you see people my age going like this. And then you get into Justin Bieber and like, oh, no, don't play that now. And they're all going like that with each other. So this music seminar, it's going to step on everybody's toes, just to let you know, including mine. Now, you understand, this music seminar was put together because my wife and I needed to understand this subject for ourselves. So we studied it. We didn't just listen to what someone said here or someone said there. We got in and we dug and we studied. And as a music ministry, it was important for me to really understand this. When I wanted to release this music seminar about 6-7 years ago, when we were 3-4 years into our music ministry, and God said, no, you don't understand it yet. And so it took me literally a decade of studying, and sometimes I leave it off and I come back and I get overwhelmed and I go back to it. Over a 10-year period, God finally said, okay, now you have a handle on it some. Because here's the thing, music is huge. But friends, I believe God has put together a balanced presentation that we can all learn from. So let's look at the Renaissance real quick. 1450 to 1600. Renaissance simply means rebirth. And many changes in the way that music was being created began. Composers concerned themselves with three areas of music: sacred, secular, and instrumental. So I'd like to play a sacred piece of music for you from the Renaissance age. Sacred? Beautiful, isn't it? Okay, now hold on. You got seatbelts? Put them on. We're going to play some secular music from that age. What are you giggling about? Yeah, yeah. No. That's secular music from Renaissance time. Do you get the point? Music was very similar, and it served a purpose. Even the secular music was being largely composed by those who were employed by the church. And the reality is, it served the purpose that God had set aside for this music. Over time, we've changed the use of it. Back then, all the music was similar in nature, shared smooth, gentle rhythms and melodies and balanced phrases. So now, at this time in Earth's history, there was really no founded America yet. So this was all European music. And when America was founded, what ultimately happened was when they came to the New World, they brought, of course, the European music and basically the classical type genre of music along with them. And what happened was, as America began to be developed and founded, different genres began to develop, which we don't have time to go into here. And then in the 1800s in America, as America began to develop even more, a blight on our history is slaves from Africa were sold to white merchants in North America. They brought with them from Africa their ritualistic religious practices known as voodoo, heavily wrapped around tribal drums. Now, understand, the reason we talk about this is because America became a melting pot for a music explosion. And eventually we began to export around the world our new music and everybody went crazy over it. Now, it happened in America, it happened in Europe, we'll be talking about that. If it happened with some other, with the Mexican group or Latino groups or Hispanic groups or Asian groups, we'd be talking about that. But the history is there was the African influence, so I'm definitely not down on my African brothers and sisters because, frankly, I'm a little white man and inside of me is a 6-foot beautiful black man. I'm serious. I honestly think that, well, actually, in my history, in my family history, we actually have black. Actually, it's African descent, even specifically. So the reality is we're not down on the Africans. The reality is we are simply showing the history and how it happened. Are you all with me? Do you understand this? Yes, okay. Now, an expert, John H. Steele, in his book, he's an occult expert and a pagan religion expert. Here's what he says in his book, The World of the Unexplained. The follower of voodoo seeks to incorporate Allah, a lesser god, into himself. When I was over in, where was I? I was in Sweden. We had the African conference president there with us, and I was teaching this for 10 days. And he came up to me afterwards and said, "Oh, Christian, please, 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 please come to Kenya. Please, I need you to teach this." Why? Because everything I was saying, he said, that is exactly right. So he says, the follower of voodoo seeks to incorporate Allah, a lesser god, into himself by writhing and leaping through a dance, while drums bang out complex rhythms. There's a key. When just the right rhythm is found for an individual Allah, or we would call this a demon, by the way, the dancer takes it up and the demon enters his soul. The religion is strictly Dionysian. In other words, very sensual. In fact, three things you will always find in pagan rites or ritualistic services. You will always find three things. You will find drugs, mind-altering drugs. You will find polyrhythmic music or complex rhythmic music. And you will always find sex. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You ever heard that term? Interesting. Anyway, so what happens is, in fact, do you know where rock and roll got its name from? You happen to know that little tidbit? Does it have great, healthy, wonderful roots? No. You know what happened was eventually this explosion of this blending of some American Caucasian, quote unquote, music and this new African music started to come together and they started to develop blues and rhythm and blues. And before you know it, we birthed into this thing that was called rock and roll. Well, there was a DJ that came up with the term rock and roll. And what basically he found was these young people were listening to this new kind of music, this new style of music, and it was causing them to engage in things inappropriately, intimately, sexually, with their significant other in the backseat of their parents' car, causing the car to rock and roll. Hello? Little bit of information. I got to move on. Dr. Richard Hodges, he continues on, the drummers often shuffle their feet or sway their bodies in dance-like motions to assist them in maintaining contact with the main beat, especially when the rhythm is syncopated. We spend a lot of time on this as well in the seminar, the full seminar, but I'll have to just give you a quick little verbal illustrations right now. Syncopation is such a, what's that mean? Listen, I'm going to tell you first of all, syncopation is not of the devil. Okay? Some of you conservatives can throw me out, but hear me out before you do. Syncopation is not of the devil. Syncopation is like seasoning to a meal. And if you, who likes seasoning on their meals? Absolutely. We love that, right? But who likes dumping the whole salt shaker on their meal? No takers. Why? What does it do to the meal? Ruins it. Syncopation in a song is appropriate only in little dashes here or there if we use it at all, like seasoning a meal. Now, what is syncopation? Well, in normal music, if we had, say, common time or 4-4 time, and the accent was on the one beat, we'd have something like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is 4-4 common time with the accent on the one. In fact, if you even wanted to play a snare drum and wanted to beat that snare drum, it would be fine. Christian Berdahl just said drums were okay? Yep, I did. At ASI? Uh-huh. I did. but I'm also educated on the subject, and you can't refute what I'm about to tell you. So the reality is, you can play like even a march type music, right? A march, a drum march, a cadence. Bum, 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 bum. It's on the one and on potentially the three. Jesus, okay, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Like a little kid would sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells, right? That's on the one and the three. It's natural. Now, watch what happens if instead of going, Jesus loves me, this I know, all we have to do is shift it from the one to the two. Watch this. Jesus loves me, this I know, oh, for the Bible tells me so, oh, little ones to him belong. Did you hear that difference? Let's shift it to the three. Jesus loves me, this I know, oh, for the Bible tells me so, oh, little ones to him belong. Let's shift it to the four. This one's a little harder for me. Jesus loves me, this I know, oh, for the Bible tells me so, oh. So all we did was went from Jesus, I'm sorry, when you do so many in a row, it gets a little bit difficult. But the reality is we shifted the accent from the one and three to either the two, three, or four. And when you start messing with all of that, that is what we call syncopation. Now, in one of my songs on my holiday album, I have Joy to the World on there. And there is a spot where we have syncopation, but it's a dash. The problem comes in when what we want to do is, because we can add interest and energy to a piece of music if we put a little here and a little there. Does that make sense? Please understand that. But what the devil has done is he said, hey, let's take the syncopation, which short circuits the prefrontal cortex, the frontal moral lobe, puts you in an alpha brain pattern, and whatever information's coming in goes in without being discerned at the time. Did you know that? The polyrhythmic elements actually short circuit the frontal part of the brain. So whatever information's coming in, and even with certain movies are edited and TV programs are edited, you will go into a short-circuited pattern. It's not short-circuited, but that's the easiest way to describe it. And what happens is you go into an alpha pattern, and you're not critically, dynamically analyzing incoming information. So how scary is that if you're listening the wrong or watching the wrong kind of stuff, and you're sitting there going, it's just going right in, changing our what? Character. So the drummers often shuffle their feet, and we just read this, when the rhythm is syncopated. Now, let's tie this together. So the syncopation is messing with the accent. I know this is a quick explanation. It's almost like we're opening a bigger can of worms. Get the DVD, it'll explain it for you. It's not a sales pitch, it's a tool. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. During these rituals that still take place in the Congo and Yorubaland, the intricate layers of multiple rhythmic drumming are considered the primary source of what? Heavenly power? Occult power. So what they've discovered is it is the multiple, the polyrhythmic levels and complex rhythms that are being banged out. And friends, it doesn't matter what, I have a slide that I usually show, I can show you around the world from Japan to Europe to America, Native Indians, we in those pagan, the part of the pagan cultures, every single one of them had the polyrhythmic elements, no matter where it came from. So it's not an African problem, it's a worldwide problem, amen? It is. Now, we're gonna listen to some actual voodoo samples. This is actual voodoo right here. Ding, ding, ding. Hear them all? All those layers? Okay, here's another one. Little more modern. Still voodoo though. We're gonna come back to this one. Right? How about this one? Now this is modern, right off of iTunes. I don't know what they're saying, but I don't wanna know. actual voodoo. That is the source of occult power right there. So now what we do is we just take that, package it up, put some different lyrics on it, and now the 50s explode. Oops. Oh no, we don't want to hear that again. Oh no. Hold on. I hit the wrong key. We don't want to listen to that voodoo again, do we? Amen. Now, in the 1840s, a lot of Africans started turning to Christ and were allowed to have their own churches. Some turned away from drums completely, praise God. Others unfortunately incorporated them into their new faith. They would sing the same hymns as the Caucasians, but with shouting and beating out counter rhythms on tambourines, gourds, or logs. That would be syncopated rhythms. Eventually, this brought about what we know as the Holy Flesh Movement. Now listen, congregants still sought for possession, only now it was called the Holy Spirit. Isn't that crazy? So now, instead of trying to be possessed by a Lao or by a demon, now we just bring it into the church service, and now we want to be possessed by the Holy Ghost. We flip around on the floor, we talk in tongues, we do all this kind of stuff. Anybody getting this? Wow. Isn't that interesting? I call it paganized baptism. Baptized paganism. So, it's the same as the pagan worshipers. It's just now done in God's house. And it's called the Holy Ghost. We're going to come back to this. And then we have this guy comes on the scene. His name is Aleister Crowley. You're right. He founded the religious philosophy of Thelema, and he claims that there was this entity named Iolaus that came to him and told him how to write this particular book of the law. And in the book of the law, this would be the root of Satan, the satanic church, by the way, and you'll see that in a little bit. It states, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." So this is the law. Do whatever you want. That's the law. Do whatever you want. Did you know that that was the law? Not according to God. Amen. Because the Lord says not, we should say to him, not our will, but yours be done in heaven and on earth and in my iPod and on my TV. Amen. Amen. Not my will, but yours be done. The satanic philosophy is absolutely opposite of that. It's do whatever you want to do no matter what anyone says. Don't worry about it. Do you see the dichotomy? Do you see the opposing sides here? This is very interesting. He desired to use music to bring on the New Age, the whole dawning of the Age of Aquarius in the 60s and 70s. And this really might blow your mind if you know your spirit prophecy. He desired to use, quote, an army of youth to indoctrinate with do what thou wilt. Direct quote from his own book. He wants to indoctrinate our young people. And you used to be a young people. Some of you. And he wants to indoctrinate us all. And he wants to help each one of us to become his disciples, not the disciple of God. And then we have these guys. What happened is this is the combination of those African rhythms that we talked about and this now do what thou wilt philosophy. So what happened is we actually have bringing together the synthesis of these two cultures, and eventually it births groups like Bill Haley and the Comets. And what's interesting is even in this, in 1954, they began writing hit songs. And they were a white band, quote unquote, using, quote, black-derived forms. They ventured into rock and roll. So now what we do is we introduce other instruments like the rhythm guitar. So now any instrument, by the way, could be played inappropriately with syncopation, with polyrhythmic elements. So now they just bring in a rhythm guitar. Even the way that Bill Haley sings this next song we're going to listen to, even the way that he sings it is polyrhythmic in nature. Now, something we need to understand. In the tribal setting, there was a group of people that would actually play all these drums. Don't have time to get into all the history, but here's how it works. Eventually, a contraption set was developed that allowed, we know it today as a trap set. It allowed one person to sit on what's actually called the throne, yikes, but sit on the throne, and they could actually, with four limbs now, play what it took a tribe to play before. Don't miss that. they could play all the polyrhythmic syncopated beats with one person now on a trap set. So what they could do is get us to the place to where we were seeking that higher experience now, even in our music, and we think that we're going somewhere that's really amazing, and we don't realize that, oh, we're not going somewhere, we're going with someone that's possessing us. That's heavy, I know, but you need to study it out. The reality is, this can be a very dangerous thing, friends. It can also be the most amazing blessing. The devil is working the most where he can snag the most people. So, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, music had become altogether different than what God had intended. The drug scene, the rebellion, and total disregard for any sort of authority was in full bloom, and the music ventured openly into eventually glorifying the devil. We'll get to that in just a moment. So, you might have heard this before. Listen to the polyrhythmic elements coming. Listen. Boom, 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 boom. Ba, 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 ba. All polyrhythmic, even the way he's singing it. Tonight. The whole thing is polyrhythmic. But that's fun, Christian. I'm sorry. I agree. I used to listen to a lot of 50s music, a lot of 60s music. A lot of 70s music. I actually really preferred the 40s and 50s. But the problem is, while emotionally we may respond in one way, neurologically and physiologically we respond very differently, and it is dangerous for us. So, do what thou wilt is in full bloom. We'll decide what goes on. We will decide what we do, what we smoke, what we listen to. We'll decide how we dress, how we talk, how we act, where we go. And do what thou wilt eventually became do your own thing. You see, it's the philosophy of the devil, just a little bit different verbiage. Isn't that interesting? The youth became emboldened in this revolutionary rebellion. Do what thou wilt permeated this era, especially we got into the 60s and into the 70s. Before you know it, you were questioning anybody and everybody, and you weren't following anyone. And some of the satanic, what would be the word, elements in certain groups were hidden. For instance, in the Beatles, which we don't have time to get into. We spend quite a bit of time with the Beatles. But the reality is, the Beatles were offered up by the same music company as the Rolling Stones. The same company, same label, served up both groups. Here's one platter. If you're in open rebellion, you want to listen to this kind of music, here's the Rolling Stones. But if you're the good kids, you can listen to the Beatles, because after all they want to do is hold your hand, right? In fact, it starts out, they're even wearing black suits and black ties. Man, they had dress reform going on. And they just had fun music, right? Well, their music started to turn very dark as well. And we have a lot of information on the Beatles, and I'm sorry to say, they don't pass the test. But let's listen to this. Now, this wouldn't take much imagination to wonder where the Rolling Stones are coming from, because their title song on this album is entitled Sympathy for the Devil. Does the devil need sympathy? No, he doesn't at all. Now, follow along with these lyrics and listen to how the song starts out. You tell me what this is. What's that? Pure voodoo. You never knew it before. Now follow these, listen. Okay, bye-bye prefrontal cortex. Straight from hell, you got it. Said by my elder sister that knows what's up. Listen, tell me that God intended that kind of music.
No way.
The reality is, it's been used by the devil to propagate his ideas and to force our conversion. That's blasphemous. Su Qing, 6th century BC, for changing people's manners. By the way, people have known this for an awful long time. For changing people's manners and customs, there is nothing better than music. And Anton LaVey knew that. And he picks up Crowley's torch and established the official Church of Satan. He wrote the Satanic Bible. And in Crowley's book, in the Satanic Bible, it says, Crowley's Do What Thou Will is the Whole of the Law is actually the Church of Satan's official philosophy and doctrine now. So you notice here on the, it's kind of hard to make out on this screen, but this here is called the Sigil of Baphomet. And this is an upside down pentagram, and you have the horns of a goat, the ears, and the chin. This is a satanic symbol. It's the symbol of the devil himself. In fact, this is the symbol of the devil. Or like this. Like that. That's the devil. That's the horns right here. And that's what that means. That is not I love you. That's different, right? You got I love you. But this is the symbol of the devil. What disgusts me is you can go to many different Christian concerts and kids and the singers are throwing the devil signs and some of them don't even know what they're doing. I guarantee you. I've been doing concerts now for 12 years. I've never had anyone throw a devil sign in my concerts. Why? Because the music doesn't have the satanic body language. Hello? Amen. LaVey says, let's get them to a place where they forget their logic. And this is where we have logical thinking in our prefrontal cortexes, which, by the way, we spend over an hour just talking about the brain and how it works. Let's get them to a place where they forget their logic and just do what thou wilt. That's what's wrong with these polyrhythmic elements in the syncopated music that we're listening to, is it takes that prefrontal cortex, tosses it over to the side, and now we just do whatever we feel like we want to do. Now, this is very interesting. This is an article called High Tech and the Low Frequencies. Reporter Jason Sneed wrote about the huge club and DJ scene, and he wrote about DJ Lauren, or AKA Bass Nectar. Bass Nectar represents the wave of DJ success, playing amazing sets to dance floors throughout North America and beyond. Bass Nectar's shows have the future primitive feel of all-out revelry resulting from the tribal unity of audience involvement. Basically, what he could say is, what he's saying here is, when this guy plays his mixes, it goes tribal. Now, let's listen. This will amaze you. Remember this voodoo clip? We played that one first, or second. When the Lord, I was putting the seminar together with the Lord's direction, I have a piece of audio editing software called Pro Tools. And I had one track, and I put in this clip right here. And this is Bass Nectar's music. This is club stuff, right? Doing all that kind of stuff. So. Well, think about this. How many clubs do you think play Mozart? Well, why not? Because Mozart leaves your brain intact. This stuff doesn't. And so all of a sudden, you start drinking, because that also messes with the frontal lobe. Before you know it, you're uttering perverse things and beholding strange women. Well, the Bible says it. So God said this. Play this music. Now, on another track, put that voodoo over it and see what happens. And does it line up? I'll point when the voodoo comes in. You tell me. Do I need to say any more? That's voodoo laid over modern voodoo. In the 80s, music became much more sexual in content, and Do What Thou Wilt became Live and Let Live. Same philosophy. Who lived under Live and Let Live? Do your own thing. We all have if we are a little bit older. But it's the same devilish philosophy. In the 90s, the content became very explicit. And warning labels, for the first time, were put on albums saying, contains explicit material. That had never happened before. Some little bit in the 80s. But we had never before that had explicit content. And then the 2000s brought us people like Marilyn Manson. Now this rocker man, he took two of his idols, their names, Marilyn Monroe, took her first name, and Charles Manson, the massacre man, and put his name together, Marilyn Manson. Here's what he says. I don't know if people, if anyone really realize, excuse me, I'll start over. I don't know if anyone has really understood what we're trying to do. Lure people in. Once we've got them, we can give them our message. Huh. You mean the devil has disciples and apostles? Of course he does. And they're very well funded. I certainly hope you're not putting any money in their pockets. Hello? Put it in the Lord's storehouse. Hopefully, I'll be remembered, he says, as the person who brought an end to Christianity. If somebody kills themselves because of our music, then that's one less stupid person in the world. He also goes on and says, raise your kids better, or I'll be raising them for you. These are direct quotes. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now, would death metal be a form of evil? Oh, that's an easy one, right? Of course, death metal, yeah. How about Christian death metal? Is that a form? There is that, by the way. About make your eyes bug out of your head. Christian death metal? Christian death metal. Christian death. Anybody see a problem with this? It's called an oxymoron, exactly. It's like jumbo shrimp, right? Jumbo shrimp. It doesn't work. Military intelligence. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is this. It doesn't work. Christian death metal. Christian rap. Christian screamo. Christian techno. What? But friends, the devil knows that we are just silly enough. Just naive enough. Just like a whole bunch of little sheep. Just following around each other. All right off the cliff. But he knows that if he just simply puts a nine-letter word in front of almost anything, we'll just buy it hook, line, and sinker. The nine-letter word is Christian. Well, what about Christian pornography? Would that be okay? How about Christian alcohol? That surely would be okay. It's Christian. What's amazing, we go, well, that's ridiculous, Christian. It is. But somehow, some way, music gets a pass. Because who are you to judge me what I'm listening to? Yeah, alcohol, you know, some of us go, yeah, that makes sense. But to actually say that you shouldn't be listening to a drug that can cause you to have same physiological, neurological reactions as taking a drug, that's just too far, Christian. Excuse me? No, it isn't. That's called, let's stay away from it, and that's wisdom from God. Amen? So, what kind of music glorifies God? Well, in your little packet there on the seat next to you, let me grab one here, there is a little tiny card, a business card size, in your catalog there. And this is a little free gift from us. Please take them with you. If you'd like some more, we have some more on the back table, and you can take them with you. Look, you can put them in your wallet, put them in your purse. If you're a man that carries a purse, put it in your merce. But what you can do, or if you want, you can put it right here. That would be helpful as well. Right? So we want to make sure that we allow all of our music choices to go through this little tool before we allow it into our Christian ears. Amen? Amen. So we have a music test. And so we have this acronym you can see there, MUSIC. Now, we have free cards for you, like I just said. And if we run out, you can contact our ministry at shepherdscall.com, or you can call us at 505-286-5522, and we will get that to you. So, music. What does M stand for? Well, you have in your hand, meaningful, not trivial. U is untainted, not worldly. S is spiritual, not carnal. Inspirational, not degrading. Clear, not confused or disguised. So, let's look and talk about meaningful, not trivial. Listen to this song and tell me if we have trivialized the gospel. This is a Christian song. Have we trivialized the gospel, or is this meaningful? What if cartoons got saved? Oh, polyrhythmic elements. Listen. I'm glad that's the response. You're laughing, because it is laughable. Now, is that meaningful or untainted? Or trivial, excuse me. It was trivial. Making fun of the gospel, basically, that cartoons can be saved. Excuse me. It's a willing choice to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. It's a gift from heaven. It's not for cartoons. So what we're doing is we trivialize, but it's fun, and the kids love it. Then they go on through the song, and there's a whole bunch of other cartoons that do all the silly stuff. This is amazing to me. Stan Mosier. Now, understand where this comes from. Stan Mosier is the head of Word Records, the largest Christian record label in the world. He also found Amy Grant. He's the CEO of Star Song Records, another colossal Christian music label. He's also a pioneer and the executive of CCM, Contemporary Christian Music Movement. And here's what he says. After many years of the CCM scene. To be candid, I look at the majority of the music I hear today, and I think it's virtually meaningless. There is a growing chasm between CCM and the church, between what is actually happening in the real world of ministry, or even in the music ministry of the church, and what we're doing in CCM. That's the dude that started it. One of the main pioneers, and he's saying, there's serious problems. We're not even in touch with the church, or even the music ministry. I wonder who's behind it all. And we have you for untainted, not worldly. You tell me, is this worldly? Has it been brought down? Is this untainted or is this worldly? And the question, by the way, when we do this, we don't just play the bad examples. We actually play good examples too and say, now see the difference, hear the difference. We don't have time right now. Tell me, is this untainted or is it worldly? Right, what kind of walk do you need to have? I need to be careful. I need to actually literally be careful because I actually herniated a disc 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was in the hospital. So I'm just praising God, I'm moving before you. Amen? I gotta be careful when I move, though. Untainted or worldly? Worldly, absolutely. The reality is we can't take Jesus type lyrics. What was that all about? Well, I'm putting Jesus Christ on display. Don't worry, you're on my level. I'm shut down, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's not even a lyrical content that glorifies God anymore these days. So it's worldly. It was not untainted. In their efforts, the Gospel Workers 357, in their efforts to reach the people, because there's the great claim. Well, Christian, we need to reach the people, so we need to sound like them and give them something that they're used to. Survey says, no way. Why? Friends, we don't need to give them something they already have. We need to give them something different. We need to be the alternative to the junk that's out there. But if we sound like them, look like them, and act like them, what are we going to provide for them? Amen? Amen? We need to be a distinct people, giving the trumpet a certain sound, not a worldly sound like everyone else. That's easy. When I came out of the world, you understand, I was not raised an Adventist. I'm a convert. When I was raised in the world, I had access to anything and everything that I ever wanted. Do you think when the Holy Spirit began to draw my heart, I wanted the things of the world that I had? No, because they had done nothing for me. I went to several different churches. I went to a Pentecostal church. And I went as much as wonderful, loving as the people are, and as much as they love God, I'll tell you what, when I walked in there and they're having a ruckus and a party, and they're doing plays and drama right there up front, and they got Satan and God right there. I used to be an actor myself. I'm going, man, what's the deal? Does this belong in God's house? Does this music belong here? I left. I didn't want that. And then I happened to find some, conservative, humble Christian man that had something different. But if I found, I'll tell you this, I'm just going to be real straight. May never get to speak at ASI again. You know what? I'm sorry. But my question is, if I would walk into some of the churches in the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, would I have to walk out? And I say in some of them, yes. That's the reality, friends. You may not know it because you may live in a geographical area this big. I travel the world for God. I see it. I hear it. with my own eyes. I've actually been in churches where I have had to, on the platform, when the music starts, kindly excuse myself and step outside and pray. What am I going to do? Well, by God's grace, I give them this program is what I do. Praise the Lord. Okay. In their efforts to reach the Lord's people, the Lord's messengers are not to follow the ways of the world. Period. As they say in Europe, full stop. That's it. We need to provide an alternative, not try to sound like them. Time magazine, this breaks my heart, because this is a worldly magazine, and here's, they even see the problem. Here's what they wrote. They write that CCM performers are, quote, indistinguishable except for their lyrics from their secular counterparts. In other words, you look at them, they look the same. You talk to them, they talk the same. And they act the same, they dress the same. Everything is the same, the same, the same. And yet they have Christian music. They're saying, no, you can't even tell them apart except for their lyrics. And friends, you know what's going on now is you're not even hearing Christian, overtly Christian lyrics anymore. And they're, in fact, they're so ambiguous, you're trying to figure out, is that Christian? Is that not? Should we not know if we're listening to Christian music? Friends, listen, here's a newsflash for you. Christian music is not for the world. Christian music is for the Christian. Worldly music is for the world. Amen. You see, I even had this perception before. Well, what's wrong with if I create music and it does cross over and it goes to the secular world? Even if it was appropriate and it was wrong, is there anything wrong with that? If I made appropriate music and it went to a secular market, wouldn't that be awesome? It would be. But that should never be my goal. My goal should be to minister to God's people. Why? Well, listen to this. Spiritual things are spiritually what? Discerned. I have listened to music from the world, and when I woke up to all of this, I would go back and play different songs, and I'd go, oh, whoa, I listened to that my whole childhood. I didn't know that was a Christian song. Why? Because if you're talking about the devil on your tail and all this kind of stuff happening, so what? That's just a term. It's a phraseology. It doesn't mean, because you don't understand as a non-Christian person that was raised in a secular heathen home, that there's a real devil that's trying to steal your soul. You don't know the great controversy. You don't know these things. So I'm not going to be converted by a Christian song as a worldly person. Ain't going to happen unless God has already been working on that soul with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So our goal shouldn't be to go and try to convert the world with our music. Our goal is to go convert the world through the Holy Spirit with God's Word. Okay, spiritual, not carnal. Here's another question. Now, is this spiritual or is there carnality? Is it stimulating the flesh? Is it tickling the ears in a way that's intimate and inappropriate? Listen to this sample. This woman is singing to Jesus as she would a lover. She's singing to Jesus. Was she singing to Jesus? You know, we're supposed to love Jesus, amen? But we're not supposed to love Jesus. You get my drift? The reality is, friends, even the music, it had the syncopated back rhythm was slowed down, but even that bass was going, boom, 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 baby. That's the body language of that, wasn't it? She should be climbing over a piano or something in a saloon or in a bar, in a nightclub. God forbid she stands up in church and sings that. Amen. Think of this. We have to be careful the music that we choose, especially in the worship service of God, in the house of God, because we could be causing someone to stumble and trip up right and think of sinful things right in the worship service. Imagine that woman singing that in church service. Man, my mind flashes to stuff in my past that I'm not proud of. Hello? And I'm supposed to be worshiping God? You've been on my mind. Oh, mercy. Anthony Campolo. He's writing about Creation Fest, which is a Christian music festival. And it's kind of like a Woodstock of Christians. That's a whole nother subject. But it's kind of like a Woodstock for Christians, where Christians come from around the world. They're not having it anymore, I understand. This was 97 when this guy wrote this. And they come and they play all these types of music. Here's what he says about these amazing Christian bands. Being in the back room with many of these famous groups before they go out on stage is absolutely frightening. Doesn't sound like the right kind of testimony, if you ask me. The ego trips they are on and the language they use to hear their hate for others. When showtime comes, however, they go out on the stage with, hey, aren't we all together in Jesus Christ and the love that we share? You see, what's happening, and I've got much more information that we share about what really goes on. The pot smoking, the adultery, the cussing of all these great, huge, amazing artists and bands. Why? Friends, think about this. Their own music that they are writing is changing their own characters.
But it won't impact me.
Oh, yes, it will. Of course it will. It must. That's how it's designed. So, inspirational, not degrading. Tell me if this is inspirational or if this is degrading. Is it inspiring you to think of Jesus and heavenly things? Is it elevating and ennobling your thoughts? Or is it degrading it? Are you distracted by the music? This is all Christian music. Oh, sorry. Hit the wrong button. Hang on. This is quote unquote Christian music. It's talking about Jesus. Sorry. Do we need to listen to it? Okay, praise God. Apparently, he had me hit that button twice in a row. The reality is, it and it's just this hardcore satanic feeling, and we're supposed to be, I don't want to wake up without an overdose of you. He's talking about drug terms and liking that to our relationship with Jesus? That's disgusting. In a review on a concert by Audio Adrenaline DC Talk, quote, the Christian Conscious Sciat magazine said this, an extremely loud and incessant heavy bass beat was the predominant trademark for both bands for the entire evening. The musicians of Audio Adrenaline stirred up the crowd as they thrashed their heads around. This is worship, right? We're praising God. The musicians of Audio Adrenaline stirred up the crowd as they thrashed their heads around and bounced around the stage to their hard rock music. There was virtually no self-control near the stage. The crowd was, quote, high on the loud music. You see, what Jesus Christ came to offer was peace. What he came to offer was calm in the midst of the storm. He didn't come to create more chaos in our lives. And if should the chaos come and he allow that, he will help us through it and we can have peace even through the chaos. Amen? And so what's happening now is we just bring chaos into our iPads, our iPods, into our earbuds, into our cars. We just do it at work. We listen to it in the elevators. In fact, have you even noticed the elevator music has changed? It used to be just, you know, nice, quiet, airy music. You know why? Because people were terrified of elevators. Psychologically, they figured out, let's play some beautiful music, and it helps people to feel a little more calm. And so you have this great, airy, wonderful music, and you're like, oh, okay, we're going to be all right. You know, people are terrified of claustrophobic of these elevators. Now, I mean, three weeks ago, I went into an elevator, and it was like, I'm like, oh no, we're going down. Something foreboding is going to happen here. Oh no, we're going all the way to the basement. Ah, no. But you get the idea. Even the elevator is music. It's a commentary on our times. You see, they used to use music to help people. Now it doesn't matter. Just come down into the pit with us. Oh, CCM Magazine editor. Now, this is the Contemporary Christian Music Movement magazine. They have a magazine you can subscribe to. I actually subscribed to it to find out what they're saying. Here's what we found. John Style, the actual editor, complained that, quote, some Christian, quote unquote, Christian, he's even saying Christian songs today are so veiled in terms of spiritual content that their meaning is lost to all but the most imaginative. 1T506 says music is the idol. which many professed Christians worship. Satan has no objection to music if he can make that a channel through which to gain access to the minds of the youth. You think the devil's alive and well? He is. You think he's playing for keeps? 100%. This is not a game. We don't get a do-over. This is it. Anything will suit his purpose that will divert or distract the mind from God. He works through the means which will exert the strongest influence. So we can tie this sentence with the previous one to saying Satan has no problem using music as long as he can use it to his advantage. So it's one of the strongest means that he uses to hold the largest number of in pleasing infatuation while they are paralyzed by his power. And they are indeed mentally paralyzed. They cannot discern what is right or wrong because the wrong kind of beats and rhythms actually cause the frontal lobe to be short-circuited, as it were, into the alpha pattern like we talked about. The reality is the devil knows what he's doing and he's really good at it. Oh, by the way, he used to be the choir master of heaven. Knows a little bit about music. So now what's happening in the world is that we pack thousands of people into these churches, tens of thousands of people. And here's what we do. We don't lead them into a worship with God where we break the word of life and we allow the Holy Spirit to convert the soul. What we do is we allow their emotions to grab a hold of them and we feed their emotions and they feel God through the worship service. They feel God's presence. And this just goes on and on. And these cathedrals almost, they're huge. And the largest one with 43,500 congregants in the Lakewood Church with Joel Osteen. What they don't show you is all the music leading up to all of it. So they have to get these people into a state to where they're going to come back next Sunday. You have to have this emotional experience. And listen, get this. It's a manufactured Holy Spirit experience. It's manufactured. It's manipulation. So you got to go back there to feel that. Wait a second. I should be able to go to God anywhere on my knees and say, Lord, I don't feel close to you right now. I believe, but help my unbelieving heart. It doesn't feel like you're close to me, but I believe. If we never give them that part where we can help them to have a connection with Jesus and the Holy Spirit living in their life and that they believe even intellectually, then how are they going to get through when it doesn't feel like God is there? They're not. And so the reality is we have to be very careful in our worship services because if we bring the wrong things in, we could be manufacturing a feeling which could be mistaken for the presence of God or the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hello? Come on now, is it coming together for you now? You starting to see this? Okay, let's go a step further, friends. What if the musical devil, which indeed he is, happens to have your ear with his kind of music, and now you believe that's the call of the shepherd? And he's calling to you, you know, the sheep hear his voice, right? But here's the problem. What if we've been listening to the wrong shepherd because it makes us feel a certain way? I believe the devil is going to use music at the end of time when he impersonates Christ. When he impersonates Christ. And all of a sudden we're going to go, oh, this is my God who I've waited for. And the Bible says, whoa, 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 don't go. Don't, if he's in the desert, don't go. But wait a minute. I'm feeling the calling, and I've listened to this all my life. What if he happens to bring some of the greatest singers and groups around that play your favorite inappropriate music? Surely this must be God. Are you seeing the big picture here? I believe this has eternal consequences. What we listen to in our cars, what we listen to in our churches, what we allow our children to listen to can either help us toward the Lord or help us towards self and the devil, period. So we hear songs like this that are meditative. They border on this whole idea with this contemplative prayer. By the way, all this stuff goes hand in hand. And we sing these songs like this. We'll sing this for 20 minutes. I feel God now. Oh, now don't break the trance. Listen to what he says and how he says it. I exalt. Bye-bye prefrontal cortex. And now I'm open to receive whatever is preached into my mind. And now I feel the presence of God. Friends, at the end of time, can we trust our feelings? We must live by faith, not by sight or our emotions. The human mind shuts down. We're almost done. The human mind shuts down after 3 or 4 repetitions of a rhythm, or a melody or a harmonic progression. Furthermore, excessive repetition causes people to release control of the thoughts. Rhythmic repetition, listen, is used by people who are trying to push certain ethics in their music. And I've had people come up to me, well-meaning Christian music ministries, and say, what's wrong if we use this stuff, Christian? We're just going to give them the good message in our lyrics. What's wrong with this? Wait a second. Does God want to use trickery and short-circuit and hypnotize you to put his truth in you? Absolutely not. We don't use the methods of the devil to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's a willing choice. We openly and with great intention and with great intelligence, we say, I am choosing to serve God. Not, why am I serving God? Because you were told to. Hello? So what we do now is we get these young people, thousands of young people, we bring them in, and they're just having this feeling, this emotionalism happening, and now they feel like they're feeling God. They sense that this is the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we bring them in. We have these rock concerts, and then we also take them on these things like where we have the song. Have you ever heard the song, These Are the Days of Elijah? Are these the days of Elijah? Yes, they are. But friends, does that mean it's time for a big old fat party? No, it means it's to repent of our sins, to be converted, and to serve God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and take it to other people, amen? So, but yeah, oh yeah, here we go. This is a church service. Woo! Man, we're gonna feel God now. Oh yeah! Right? This is a worship service. Bam.
Days of Elijah.
Oh yeah, come on. Okay, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. Here's the middle of the song. Polyrhythmic elements. Gone. But we're worshiping God. Hear this? Do you hear the polyrhythmic elements? What does that have to do with Jesus? Okay, let me ask you a question. What picture of God does that paint in the mind? A holy God? No. A party God. I don't serve a party God. I serve a holy God, who I am not even worthy to approach, even backwards. Unloose your sandals. No, I'm not going to loose my sandals. I'm going to have a party in your house, God. And then, listen to this. Listen to the drums. All polyrhythmic, prefrontal cortex gone. Just in case there was any prefrontal cortex still there functioning properly, let's go into a mantra now for 3 minutes. Watch.
There is no God like Jehovah. 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 There is no God. Oh, Jesus, I sense you here. There is no God like Jehovah. Oh, wasn't that an amazing worship service? I felt the presence of God.
What a cheap imitation. Anybody ever heard of Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Church and Purpose-Driven Life? Here's what he says. Worship has nothing to do with the style or the volume or speed of a song. God loves all kinds of music because he invented it all. If I could lay on some hands, man. Okay, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. Okay, continue on. Fast and slow, loud and soft, old and new. You probably don't like it, but God does. Direct quote from that man. False prophet. False prophet. I used to say false prophet of God. No, no, no. Just false prophet. Child guidance, 540. There has been a great change, not for the better, but for the worse, in the habits and customs of the people in reference to religious worship. Here's the content. Religious worship. The precious and sacred things which connect us with God are fast losing their hold upon our minds and hearts and are being brought down to the level of the common things. The reverence which the people had anciently before the sanctuary where they met with God in sacred service has largely passed away. Nevertheless, God himself gave the order of a service, exalting it high above everything of a temporal nature. Amen? We are not to be stimulating the flesh. Worship is not about us. Worship is about worshiping God. It's not egocentric. It shouldn't fill my ego or self. It should be theocentric. That means God-centered. And we get into this thing, what am I going to get out of worship now? How is it going to make me feel? What's it going to do for me? No, worship is about giving to God and worshiping him and giving him the honor and praise that he deserves. Amen. Praise God. Continuing on. This is my quote. In the greater history of the church, there are screaming examples of when pagan music, idols, and customs were allowed into the church to build a bridge to the pagans. Unfortunately, the pagans always won over the church, not the church winning over the pagans. Pagan musical tentacles have reached all the way down to our day, and I hope you're like me, and you don't want anything pagan mixed with our worship of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Here's the thing. Please capture this moment. There's a lot of people out there that are going to these massive paradigm churches, to these new, there's so many of them now, I can't even keep track of them in my research what's going on. And you have all these people coming in and they're having these emotional experiences, and many of them will just stay there and they're okay with that mediocre, pathetic thing. But many are saying, this surely can't be all there is to Christianity. I need something different. I need some food here. I've had enough emotionalism. I need something that will change my soul and change my heart. I need something. And the problem is, some of them will even leave those churches. They don't even understand that Jesus is what they need, because he's not really talked about, except for like a buddy that'll help you through and give you everything that you want. As long as you just give me your money first, God will give you more money. So you have all this whole thing going on, and what happens is these people leave going, you know what? I guess that's not the answer either. Christianity doesn't work either. Friends, we need to be there as an alternative when this great fallout begins. It's already begun. The people that have started these whole different churches that are going right now, they realize this is not how it works. We can bring in thousands of people, but we can't keep them. So you keep bring them in, because we can't keep them. Why? Because it's not working. The only thing that works is a close relationship with Jesus Christ, the righteous, and seeing him as our Savior. And so the reality is, I want to be one of those, I hope you do too, that wants to be there in my little church out in the country, even where I live. I want to be that alternative where somebody goes, wow, this is what I've been looking for. I had a young lady, when we were recording the sermon, this 12 hours of material, when we were recording this, I had a young lady come up to me, and she told me that she went to the Church of Nazarene, and they had all this music going there. And she said, does your church believe this? And we had beautiful, we had the Neblets there, we had the Ketz family there, they were playing beautiful music before we began the seminar, and they're like, is this the kind of music you have in church? I said, in my church, yes. She says, I don't want to go to my church anymore, can I come to yours? Amen? Amen? I think she was 12 or 14 years old, right there in a crazy seminar about music. She's going, yeah, I guess I'm not worshiping God. A little girl gets it. Amen. Amen. So, here's the last question. Clear, not confused. Ask yourself this, and this is a medley of songs. Ask yourself this question, because it starts out, anybody ever heard that little song, How Great Thou Art? Okay. Anybody have a problem with the lyrical content of How Great Thou Art? Of course not. It's beautiful. Amen? One of my favorite hymns in the whole hymnal. So How Great Thou Art, I took one of the most popular hymns and I put it together with various singers. What I want you to be aware of is, do you become distracted at any point when the music genres begin to change? Are you in a worshipful place? Are you being lifted and edified to the Lord? Is music being used properly as we begin? And indeed it is when we begin. But let's see where it goes from there. Because the argument is, only the lyrics matter. Worshipful? Appropriate? Yeah. We're thinking about God. Let's change it. Is there anything wrong with that? There actually isn't. Not my favorite, but it doesn't violate anything. Change it. How's this one? Huh? Not sure anymore? Are we worshiping? Has the music pulled you from God already? It has. This is a hymn. I'm sorry. Isn't that what it makes you want to do, though? Maybe not that silly. Love ballad, yeah. How about this one? Is your heart going fast? Don't ever let anyone tell you. It's only the lyrics that matter. Amen. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise to have a carnival, and this is termed the Holy Spirit's working. The Holy Spirit never reveals itself in such methods, in such a bedlam of noise. This is an invention of Satan to cover up his ingenious methods for making of none effect the pure, sincere, elevating, ennobling, sanctifying truth for this time. No encouragement should be given to this kind of worship. But what if I've engaged in listening to the wrong stuff? What if I'm in a church or I'm somewhere where they've got the wrong things going on? What if I've made bad choices and I've got the wrong kind of music on my smartphone or on my iPod or in my cars? I'm listening to the wrong stations on the channel. Lord, what if I've made all these bad decisions? Listen, be still and know I am God. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Don't you ever embrace something that's a cheap replacement for a true connection with God, the Holy Spirit being poured out in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, if we spent just a little bit of time together, oh, how I wish we had more time together. I pray that you would please, if we've made poor choices in our life, and we all have, help us, Lord, to kick out the devil and put him where he belongs. That's outside of our homes, outside of our cars. Lord, outside the churches. Please, sweet Jesus, we ask that you would come in and clean house in our souls. Lord, I give you unrestricted access to my mind, to my heart, to my everything. And I say, Lord, come in and do what thou wilt. It's no longer what I want because all my best choices have got me where I am. Outside of you, Lord, I just pray that you would please, please save us. Come quickly, lest we all perish. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you leave, I just would like to tell you, for those of you who came in late, we have the DVD set in the back if you'd like to get that. To make it easy, fill out that little card, the little sheet that's in your catalog, and with your credit card information, and we can just give you the DVD and you leave and we'll just charge it later. I was going to have a testimony. Actually, for those of you who might want to stay back for just a moment, if you want, I've got a quick testimony. I'm going to have my friend Claire Luce Day come up here. And boys, they're going to have to go back to the table. Never mind. You want to at least roll this one for us? Claire, come on up here. This is my friend Claire Luce Day. And she is the music teacher at Oklahoma Academy. So she knows something about music, praise the Lord. So I want you to give us just a quick testimony of what happened on your campus at Oklahoma Academy. I'm going to put this near you because we don't have another microphone. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we work with young people, older young people and younger young people at ASI and different conventions, and this is a critical issue for them. And so when we finally got Christian to come and speak to us, it was amazing. But then when we got the Distraction DVD set, it is by far the best seminar on music that you can get.
Wow.
And when you're finished with it, because we do use Louis and Carol Torres, The Notes of Music. I've used Wayne Thurber's The Heavenly Music. I'm always trying to get something that will appeal to the young people. Mm-hmm. But when you're done with this seminar, no one is confused.
Praise the Lord.
And that's a wonderful gift, and we are very thankful
for that.
Amen.
Now, what happened, this is interesting. The students asked, when they got the distraction, they had asked if they could watch it. Now, tell us a little bit about that real quick.
Well, I teach a music theory class, and I was telling my music theory class about this, and I said, this is powerful stuff. And they finally said, are you going to show it to us? And God opened a way to where we could show the first one. And then they said, when are we going to see the second one? And they were pushing us all the time. Well, we don't have to have prayer meeting. Let's see this thing.
Amen.
And so we finally got it through in about 3 weeks' time. And our theme that year had been revival and reformation. And between Battlefield, Hollywood, and you, it revolutionized. We had our students taking these and giving seminars in their home churches.
Yes.
And so it was quite a blessing to all.
In fact, the students decided they wanted to get their own copies of the seminar, and you had 35 students, and 41 copies were purchased because they wanted to go and share this with their friends and their family and their churches.
Oh, absolutely. So it has gone out. I know that we had one young man who was a very gifted musician from another country. And he would listen to this and just hold his head in his hands. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. Was very depressed for several weeks. And finally he said, music has been my idol. I have to give this up.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen? Thank you, sister. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So we do go around to different academies and conventions and churches, Sunday churches, wherever God opens the door. Please pray for us. We have other distraction dilemmas in the works right now. We're going to be releasing one on computer, internet, gaming, and social media coming up. So if you'd like to help us with that, if you want to find some ministry you could help support, we would love to be partnered with you. God bless you. Thank you for your attention, and have a great ASI.
This media was produced by Audioverse for ASI, Adventist Layman's Services and Industries. If you would like to learn more about ASI, please visit www.asiministries.org. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.